Sup, you beautiful bastards. Hope you have a fantastic Thursday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show, and let's just jump into it. And the first thing we're going to talk about today, one of the most requested stories over the past 18 hours, is what the hell happened in London yesterday? You may have seen videos of just tons of kids in the street. They were chasing after cars, throwing stuff, they were on roofs. Well, that was part of the YouTube community bleeding out into the real world. And specifically, this is the fallout from another event leading up to one of the largest events that will take place on YouTube on August 25th, the fight between Logan Paul and KSI. And along with that, the event has a whole undercard where you have KSI's younger brother, Deji, going against Logan Paul's younger brother, Jake Paul. They're all YouTube creators with incredibly large followings. And the reason so many people are predicting this is going to be such a massive event is this is the second event of this type. Back in February, you might remember KSI put on an event similar to this when he fought Joe Weller. And I love Joe Weller, but it is important to note that Logan Paul has a larger audience. And that event, which took place back in February, you might remember it had 1.6 million concurrent viewers. The VODs of the fight passed 20 million like that. And because Logan Paul is such a polarizing figure, even people that are not his fans, I would argue especially people that are not his fans, want to watch this. Now, as far as how many people are going to end up watching this event, while I think it's going to be massive, there is a possibility that it could actually be less due to new information. But I'll touch on that at the end of this story. So you've seen the chaos in the streets, but what happened inside? Well, inside of London's York Hall, they had their second press conference. And the TLDR of the situation is, imagine what it would be like if you and someone you disagreed with, in this case, someone you are going to fight, were having an argument. You were gonna say some mean stuff about one another. But that argument took place in a setting that involved 1,000 people supporting one person and almost nobody supporting you. That is what was witnessed. And it got pretty personal. KSI brings up Logan Paul's girlfriend, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. star Chloe Bennett. In response to her being mentioned, the crowd starts a chant. KSI then says,
"Why don't you introduce me to her? Huh? Apparently you only have 85% of your testicle. Let me give her the extra 15. Let me show her a real man."
Also, pretty much any time Logan Paul tries to speak up, he gets completely shut down.
It's funny.
Wait, no, it's shut funny. The fuck up. Shut
this,
the fuck up.
This is coming from
shut the fuck
care.
Up. This is my town now, bitch.
KSI leads the crowd into a fuck the Pauls chant.
Let's get a chant going. Fuck the Paul.
He then goes after Logan Paul's parents.
"Everyone has my back, and no one has yours, besides your ludicrous mom and your disgusting delusional dad. You're disgusting, mate. You said you beat me in a fight. You said you beat me in a fight with one hand, right? You wouldn't do shit. You're an old man, but I'm sure you wouldn't mind lasting one round of all the little girls you like kissing. You sick, deadbeat, bald-headed prick."
And for those unfamiliar with this situation, that is in reference to a very weird Jake Paul video where they trick, or even if it's staged, it's weird. But they have a young girl in a blindfold, and then they swap in Greg Paul. It's, honestly, we could do a whole video on Greg Paul. But you know, then that opening segment ends, it's time for questions, and then Logan Paul says this.
"Hey!
Is that lip? How's that lip?
Hey, I would love to sit lip? Here and answer your questions.
All right,
I feel like KSI addressed everything.
All right, JJ.
London, I'm out. I'll see you August 25th.
He left, and that's reportedly when things just got chaotic outside. The reports that fans rushed out of the venue, they then were just filling the streets. There's a video of a good number of people climbing up buildings, throwing things. And I don't mean like they were just throwing little things. You saw cans of paint being thrown. Also, while scrubbing through videos of the event, we found someone that is claiming they damaged the Paul's vehicle.
"You just fucked the shit out of Logan and fucking Jake Paul's car. Fucking too happy about that shit. I don't give a fuck."
So they're either puffing up their chest and lying, or they just admitted to a crime on camera and then uploaded that video. And following this event, there were two completely different takeaways. You had a lot of people mocking Logan Paul for leaving, not taking questions, many people saying he just ran away, whereas others defended his actions, saying that the whole event was just a disgusting, ridiculous thing. But Logan Paul realized that the entire event was just going to be people yelling stuff at him, saying stuff about his girlfriend, his family, he wasn't able to get a word in. As far as your personal takeaway, I'd love to know yours there. But like I said, where I wanted to end this story was to talk about the numbers. Because reportedly, unlike the last fight and stream, you are going to have to buy this one. It's $8. The pay-per-view is through YouTube on a brand new channel. A channel that, as of recording this video, has gained 63,000 subscribers since the press conference. Also, with this change, there was a little backlash. People saying that they were greedy, saying, why are you charging? Today, we saw KSI respond on Twitter, saying, just wanted to address those asking why we're charging to see the fight. The cost of the event itself is on another level to last time. Plus, the press conferences, weigh-in, and making other content for the new channel all adds up. Which I will say, personally, I think is a valid response. And so it'll be interesting to see how adding that paywall will affect viewership. And so for YouTube, YouTubers, internet, entertainment, this is going to be kind of an amazing test case. What does adding the paywall do to the numbers? Are you, instead of looking at 1.6 million concurrent, is it 1 million then? Is it just 100,000? Also, of course, adding a paywall increases the likelihood of a ton of pirated streams. What will the numbers be? I don't know, but I am fascinated. I mean, just 18 hours after both YouTubers uploaded highlight videos of the event, collectively, they were already at 6.8 million views. But ultimately, we're gonna have to wait to see. It is going to be very interesting internet entertainment history. And then, I mean, this event and stuff like it is a bit of a guilty pleasure for me, so I probably won't only be watching it, but I'll probably be doing a simultaneous commentary podcast, maybe with some guests. If you're a YouTuber out there, you wanna do it. We'll watch it in my theater room, maybe it'll be amazing, or if not, we can just talk a bunch of shit. You know, like adults do. But from that, I wanna share some stuff I love today, and today in Awesome, brought to you by BetterHelp.com/DeFranco. And BetterHelp, if you don't know, is the fantastic place where you can get affordable private online counseling. You can do it via text, audio, video chat. You can use it on your computer. You can use it via app. And you get access to licensed, trained, experienced, accredited psychologists. If you want, marriage and family therapists, clinical social workers, board licensed professional counselors. And all you've got to do to get started is just go to BetterHelp.com/DeFranco. You fill out a questionnaire. They match you with a counselor and you could start counseling today. And if you're someone that's been thinking about this, I highly recommend it. A lot of people, you know, it's not available to them. Some can't afford it. And there's even financial aid discounts with BetterHelp. But that said, if you want to check it out, just go to BetterHelp.com/DeFranco. And the first bit of awesome today is we got a trailer for Insatiable. We also got a trailer for Titans where we see Robin stabbing a guy in the neck. But then in less awesome, it's being released on DC Universe, which is DC's new portal slash membership thing. But that service does give you access to a ton of DC, including comics. Maybe you're still pumped about it. We got a trailer for A Prayer Before Dawn. We got a new trailer for Overlord. We also got a teaser with Millie Bobby Brown for Godzilla, King of the Monsters. Then we have Miranda Sings teaming up with Vanity Fair. We had Lakeith Stanfield going sneaker shopping. We also had Life Noggin asking a question I ask when I'm just slightly uncomfortable due to a 3-degree change. How hot could it actually get? And of course, if you want to see the full version of everything I just shared, the secret link of the day, really anything I talked about today, links as always are in the description down below. And then while you're riding the high of all the potential awesome in the world, let's talk about slavery. Now, for most people, when you hear the word slavery, you think in the past in the United States, you think pre-Civil War. But it is incredibly important to realize that modern slavery is a very real issue. According to estimates in the 2018 Global Slavery Index, which was just presented at the United Nations by the Walk Free Foundation, as of 2016, 40.3 million people on this planet were living in slavery. And that reportedly includes 400,000 in the United States. And as far as the specifics of what goes into a number for modern slavery, it can include situations like forced labor, forced marriage. But at the same time, those numbers don't also include organ trafficking, recruitment of child soldiers. And according to the study, even these numbers are pretty conservative. The study noting that there are gaps in data, especially with Arab states. And according to the report, we may actually be part of the chain that helps support it. Fiona David, who is the author of this report, told Axios, "We'd be hard-pressed to go to the supermarket to find a tin of tuna or to buy clothes that we felt assured weren't cut by the hands of those in modern slavery." And in fact, in 2016, reportedly the United States imported $144 billion worth of at-risk products. Reportedly, G20 countries imported $200 billion worth of electronics such as laptops and cell phones that are at a high risk of having been crafted by slave labor. As far as where is slavery most prevalent, reportedly that is Africa. And finally, as far as where do we see the most instances of slavery, we have Afghanistan, the Central African Republic, Burundi, Eritrea, and taking the crown, hopefully not surprisingly, is North Korea. Reportedly in North Korea, 2.6 million people are enslaved. That's around 1 in 10 in North Korea, and reportedly a majority are enslaved by the state. So just a little extra information about a country whose people definitely love their leader. At least I heard they do from a certain someone here in the United States. I forget what it is. Who was it? I'm sure it'll come to me. But that said, I don't know if there is a final note to the story. I don't think it's like, what's your opinion? Is slavery? Yes, it's all bad. Yeah, sometimes the story is, here is a horrible thing. How horrible is that? And then let's talk about an update around the Amazon Prime Day story we talked about earlier this week. And the TLDR, if you didn't see that, there were three main stories. One, you had Jeff Bezos becoming the richest person in modern history, having a net worth at least at one point on Monday of $150 billion. Two, you had Amazon Prime Day happening and people were thinking that it was going to look pretty good this year. In 2017, they sold $2.4 billion worth of product on Amazon Prime Day. They're estimating that this year it would be $3.4 billion. But also three, while all this was happening, it was being reported on, you had Amazon employees in European countries calling for a boycott. It made international news. There was the question of, will this have an impact on the numbers? Is this going to hurt Amazon? There were reports that Amazon had crashed for a certain amount of time because there was so much traffic, so maybe things were actually going to be okay. Well, according to Bloomberg, Amazon did not hit that $3.4 billion number. No, they reportedly destroyed it and passed it, hitting $4.2 billion. According to the report, independent businesses that teamed up with Amazon sold $1 billion worth of product in the first 24 hours. As a result of Amazon Prime Day, over 100 million products have shipped. So as far as did the boycott work, no, at least from the consumer end of this thing. I guess the question I would ask you with this story is, are you surprised? I asked you last time, what do you think will happen? Were you surprised, or did you see exactly what you thought you would see? Then we had TJ Miller back in the news, this time not due to the sexual assault allegations that have been made against him, not due to the fact that he was arrested for phoning in a bomb threat on a train. Remember that story? That's so crazy to me. Although, in his defense, someone may have been streaming his HBO comedy special. I mean, that thing was like a special kind of horrible. It was like he was getting off on the fact that he was doing such a bad job. I mean, that thing was a next level bomb. But no, it doesn't relate to those stories. Instead, it's because TJ Miller and the male cast of the show that he is now no longer on, Silicon Valley, are the target of allegations coming from Alice Wetterland, who was on the show for two seasons. And it's actually based off of comments she made earlier in the week, but they're now gaining a lot of traction, and she wrote, "Yes, it's definitely time to rehabilitate TJ Miller's career. We can't afford to lose talent at a time like this. We need more, not less, comedic hijinks such as Chex Notes calling in a fake bomb threat." And this came after Alice retweeted Owen Ellickson, who wrote, "Between the rise of nonsensical Hardwick defenses and Doug Benson having TJ Miller on his podcast last night, male stand-ups are doing a bang up job of making clear they don't give two shits if their friends abuse women." But like I said, this isn't just about TJ Miller, because Alice went on to tweet, "I hope to not ruin it for you, but TJ Miller was a bully and petulant brat, and pretty much everyone who had any power on that almost all male set, including the male cast members, enabled him and were complicit in his unprofessionalism. They can fuck off forever." Adding, "I'm pretty open about this, and I don't know if other women on the show had a different experience than me, but it was kind of a nightmare." Someone then responded, "If it was so awful, why did you stay? Doesn't that just make you complicit as well, or does that only count for the other cast members?" Alice responds, "Not a dumb question. One, I needed the job. Two, it was my first recurring role, and I had no idea it wasn't always toxic and weird. Now I know." Then in response to a tweet about speaking up, she said, "How do you know I didn't speak up? Just because you didn't hear about it? I didn't realize HBO HR is supposed to contact you." We also had people calling into question if she did say something, since she also did tweet she wasn't sure if other women had different experiences, which then brings us to HBO's response here. And a spokesperson for them told The Hollywood Reporter, "While this is the first time we have heard Alice Wetterland comment on her experiences on Silicon Valley, we are disappointed to learn of her concerns. HBO and the producers have always taken very seriously our responsibility to create a welcoming and congenial environment for everyone who works on the show." And as of right now, that's really all we're seeing from this situation, because I think it is very important that everyone is represented. I also reached out to Kumail Nanjiani, Martin Starr, Mike Judd. As of right now, they have not responded, but of course they are always welcome to respond, and I'd love to update the story. And so as of right now, that's where we are. But with all of that said, I do want to pass the question off to you. What is your takeaway from this story? And I think it's less of a question of, do you think TJ Miller was an asshole? Right, once again, when we're talking about TJ Miller, we're talking about a person that the last time we covered him in the news is because he called a bomb threat. And obviously, I think it's hard to have a fully fleshed out and locked in opinion on a story that were there. There are still a lot of other questions. But based off of the little that we know, would you look at the other male cast members as definitely complicit in that behavior, or maybe just along the same lines as Alice herself? Based off of her tweets, she kind of sort of makes it sound like she did speak up, but we don't know who that person would have been. HBO's version of this is, we haven't heard of it, so did someone hear it and do nothing? The people she spoke up to, I mean, were those the cast members or Mike Judd? That said, let me know what you think in those comments down below. And then let's talk about the situation involving President Trump, if Russia is still actively targeting the United States, if it is Vladimir Putin's fault. Because since Donald Trump came out with his explanation slash excuse that he said wouldn't instead of would while talking at a press conference with Vladimir Putin, there have been several other controversies. The first thing starts yesterday when Donald Trump is just wrapping up questions with reporters, when Cecilia Vega from ABC News yells out,
"Thank you a all very much. Appreciate it.
President,
thank you.
Is Russia still targeting the U.S.? Is Russia still targeting the U.S., Mr. President?
Thank you very
let's
much.
Go. Make your way out. No, you don't believe that to be the case? Schumer. Let's go. We're finished here.
Senator Schumer said you would walk back a lot.
Press, let's go.
Thank you very much, everybody.
So from that clip, many say that it appears that President Trump says, no, Russia is no longer targeting us. This despite the statements that we've seen from members of our intelligence community over the past few days. But shortly after, there is a press conference where Sarah Huckabee Sanders is asked about this no, and she responds.
She asked the president, is Russia still targeting the U.S.? He said no. Is that what the president actually believes? Did he understand the question? And is his position that no, Russia is not doing anything to interfere or meddle in the 2018 election?
You had a chance to speak with the president after his comments, and the president said thank you very much and was saying no to answering questions. The president and his administration are working very hard to make sure that Russia is unable to meddle in our elections, as they have done in the past and as if we have stated.
Sanders is then asked, so he does believe it's going on. She responds.
We certainly believe that we are taking steps to make sure they can't do it again. Unlike previous administrations, this president is actually taking bold action and reform to make sure it doesn't happen again. But he does believe that they would target certainly U.S. elections again.
But then you had Hallie Jackson, a reporter from NBC, claiming that Trump was looking at Cecilia when he answered no, and that other reporters in the room understood that to be him answering the question. Things get really heated.
This is the second time in 3 days that the president of the White House has come out and reversed what the president has said.
Actually,
the of what it was
I'm interpreting what the president said. I'm not reversing it.
The opposite way. Why
I was in the
president
room as well, and I didn't take it the way you did.
But why should this president have any credibility to Americans in what he says if, in fact, 24 hours later, or in this case, 3 hours later, the White House comes out and says, just kidding.
Jackson then attempts to ask a follow-up question, but Sanders ends up cutting her off, moving instead to Jordan Fabian from The Hill to ask a question. But this is how Jordan ends up reacting.
Jordan, go ahead.
Sorry, Hallie, go ahead if you want.
Thanks, Jordan. You said
actually,
Josh,
I'm going to take a question from Jordan.
So the administration maintains that he was saying no to more questions, but then Hallie Jackson took to Twitter to explain why she thinks that's not really true, tweeting, here's the thing about what PressSec said about POTUS, no response. In the countless time I've been in the Oval or Cabinet Room or wherever trying to shout questions, I've never heard the president say no in order to get us to stop. He says thank you or simply ignores us. Which, if we look at the full clip, we do see him either not saying anything, kind of just waiting for it to happen, or saying thank you. So there's that situation, but then we also have Donald Trump pop back up, because just a few hours after he gave those comments to the press, he's interviewed by CBS. And there, he talks about Putin being responsible, but it's, I'll let you watch.
But you haven't condemned Putin specifically. Do you hold him personally responsible?
Well, I would, because he's in charge of the country, just like I consider myself to be responsible for things that happen in this country. So certainly, as the leader of a country, you would have to hold him responsible, yes.
And so to many from that statement, and I will say, including myself, it appears that he is providing a gap for Putin, right? Like, this thing happened under Putin's watch, and so that's why ultimately he's responsible for it, but it's not like he's actively trying to screw America. And ultimately, that ends up raising a massive red flag, thanks to a report that comes out last night. And according to the report, 2 weeks before Trump was even inaugurated, he was shown highly classified intelligence indicating that President Vladimir Putin of Russia had personally ordered complex cyber attacks to sway the 2016 American election. According to the report, the evidence included texts and emails from Russian military officers and information gleaned from a top secret source close to Mr. Putin, who had described to the CIA how the Kremlin decided to execute its campaign of hacking and disinformation. And reportedly, on January 6, 2017, according to nearly a dozen people who either attended the meeting with the president-elect or later briefed on it, the four primary intelligence officials described the streams of intelligence that convinced them of Mr. Putin's role in the election interference. And so as far as the red flag and the questions that came up, people are saying, why are you saying that he's ultimately responsible because he's the president of a country like I'm the president of a country? But we're seeing reports that before he even became president, that he was made aware of the actual situation and Putin's connection to it. And after all of this, we saw Donald Trump take to Twitter this morning to take aim at the media, tweeting, the fake news media wants so badly to see a major confrontation with Russia, even a confrontation that could lead to war. They are pushing so recklessly hard and hate the fact that I'll probably have a good relationship with Putin. We are doing much better than any other country. The summit with Russia was a great success, except with the real enemy of the people, the fake news media. I look forward to our second meeting so that we can start implementing some of the many things discussed. And then later tweeting out a video of clips from Fox News saying, Trump recognized Russian meddling many times.
As far as hacking, I think it was Russia, but I think we also get hacked by other countries and other people.
Well, I think it was Russia, and I think it could have been other people and other countries. I think it was Russia, but I think it was probably other people and or countries. It was Russia, And I think it was probably others also.
The Russians had no impact on our votes whatsoever. But certainly there was meddling, and probably there was meddling from other countries and maybe other individuals.
But it's also important to note that even in those clips, it looks like he's minimizing Russia. He talks about many countries involved in these sort of activities, but even Trump's own people. Trump's own appointed directors have said Russia is the most active and the most dangerous. Once again, it is important to note that the Russians that were indicted last week, you're talking about 12 Russian intelligence officials. It's not like we're talking about random Russians in a basement, so why is the president providing this sort of gap? And in my personal opinion, it appears that, in general, Trump and his administration are in super spin mode on Russia. But ultimately, what we're looking at in general is a somewhat of a backing down. For example, remember Vladimir Putin's proposal? Trump called it an incredible offer. Russia would cooperate with the Mueller probe if Mueller went over there. Russia would be allowed to question several U.S. citizens, including a former U.S. ambassador. And despite the president having seemingly been so excited about this incredible offer just a few days ago, now, according to a statement, the president disagrees with it. But for now, that is where the coverage around this specific story ends. I'd love to know your thoughts on it, and we'll obviously keep an eye on it. And that's where we're going to end today's show. And of course, remember, this is the PDS. It's not just a show, it is a conversation. So whether it be the last story, the first one, anything in between, let me know what you're thinking in those comments down below. And remember, if you like this video, you like what I'm trying to do on this channel, hit that like button. If you're new here, hit that subscribe button, maybe even ring that bell to get notifications. Also on this channel, make sure it's not set to occasional, that it's set to all, so you get updates when we do the pre-show as well as the regular released videos. You know, that way you don't miss these daily Philip DeFranco shows, which actually, if you did, you can click or tap right there to catch up on yesterday's show. Or maybe you're all caught up and you want to watch today's bonus video where we talk about Plain Bay and privacy and all that goodness, you can click or tap right there. But that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.